Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 86 of Histories of the Unexpected, the show in which we demonstrate how everything, we mean simply everything, even the most unexpected of subjects, has a history, like whales, cows, and kumquats.
Or eyes, spies, or lies, fire, pyre, and desire. Wow. And we're 86.
That's good.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
We'll be following the links in our minds as we come across them, explaining how those histories link together in unexpected ways. Who knew, for example, Sam, who knew that the history of teeth is in fact all about Viking warriors, 20th century confectionery, the French Revolution, the history of childhood and superstition.
And the Wild West. It's all to do with Brontosaurus teeth.
It's about, for me, it's about the Tooth Fairy.
Oh, very nice.
Or that the history of spitting is about World War II, nationalism, dissent, bullying, wine, and affection.
Nice. The man sitting opposite me is the Gary Oldman of Old Men, which I think is appropriate because we're 86. It's Professor Extraordinaire of Early Modern British History at Plymouth University. It's James Daybell. Hello, James.
Hello, Sam. I'd hate that. That's the worst introduction you've given to me so far. The man sitting opposite me is the Viking warrior of the valleys. It's the famous historical adventurer, Dr. Sam Willis.
Thank you very much, James. So each week we normally take a subject and discuss it. And today we're just breaking away from that a bit to give you an update on all of the exciting things that we've had going on over the last few weeks.
We have been doing lots of things.
So busy.
Writing, planning. We are going to talk about three different things, aren't we?
We are. We'll start, I think, by talking about our book.
Our book?
Yeah.
We've written a book. When's it out, Sam?
October.
4th of October, would it?
It's something like that. Yeah, I actually don't know off the top of my head. I'm just
it is,
to...
it's the 4th of October. You can go on Amazon and pre-order. And it says it's out on the 4th of October.
Right, so we're just going to talk a little bit about this and all of the different topics. We've done the final proofs and it's just heading off to the printers.
It has beautiful pictures as well. We have been given a massive budget for illustrations. So it's got, you know, 100 or so really nice illustrations.
The topics in the book, there are 30 subjects which we chose, and they begin with the hand.
Gloves.
Which links to perfume.
Which links to
the bubble. Which links to shadows.
Which links to beards.
Which links to clouds.
Which links to dust.
Which links to clocks.
Which links to needlework.
Which links to the history of the itch.
Which links to the history of holes.
My favourite one. Which links to the history of the bed.
Which links, unexpectedly, to the history of dreams, which is nothing to do with Freud. We tried to avoid Freud.
We did. And that links, unexpectedly, to the history of hair.
Which links to the history of the paperclip.
I cannot remember how those two link together.
I can't, but it also includes the prehistory of the paperclip.
It does. That's a fascinating subject. Anyway, the paperclip leads to the history of letters.
Which links to the history of boxes.
Which links to the history of courage.
Which links somehow, unexpectedly, to the history of mountains.
I think that's something to do with mountain rescue. Which links to the history of chimneys.
Which links to tears.
Wow, how do we do that? And that links to the history of lions.
Which links to the history of rubbish.
And then to snow.
And then to cats. Cats was very good. That's a Dylan Thomas short story, which has boys snowballing cats.
Oh, it's cruelty to animals.
Yes.
That's right. It was one of your favourite Christmas poems, isn't it?
Yes.
Cats lead to the history of the smile by the French Revolution.
By the French Revolution. Yeah. Which leads to the history of the scar, because it's the Chelsea smile.
All people carving each other's faces
off. Yes.
That leads to the history of the lean, because a lean is a particular type of disability scar, I suppose.
Yes. Which leads to the signature, which...
leads back to where you started, the history of the hand. All those fine motor control things you need to be able to pick up a pen and sign
exactly.
your name.
The book is, in fact, a circle.
We've
written a circle.
Let's just talk a little bit about that. So one of the things, as all of our keen listeners will know, is that we believe that everything has a history, even the most unexpected of subjects, and everything links together in unexpected ways. And what we wanted to do is to try and prove this by making each chapter link to the next one and then the first to the last. Now, the idea behind this, essentially, is that we think that reading about the past in a predictable linear way is unsatisfactory. History is like a maze. This is reading from the introduction. To get the most out of history, you need to ramble around in it. You need to get lost in it and then hope you can find your way back to the beginning. And that's exactly how we've written the book. Each chapter links to the next and the last to the first. So, did you enjoy our ramble around history writing the book, James?
I loved it. Loved it. It's one of the best books I've written. I'm really pleased with it. And as a process, I really enjoyed writing it.
It was so different from normal. I mean, the last book I wrote was a naval history of the American Revolution. And I started at the beginning and I finished at the end. And I did a bit of geographical focus. I did some stuff on lakes. I did some stuff in America. I did some stuff in India. And I did it in a fairly traditional way. And it was fun and it was enjoyable. But this has been a...
romp
a complete
around the
crazy
past.
Romp. So we, you know, the point is we're looking at all of these different subjects, but we're coming at them from completely different angles. So I'd think of something to do with the history of the hand.
Yep.
I began writing about prehistoric cave art, 40,000-year-old cave art, and how people used the symbolism of the hand to communicate. And it was also all to do with sort of origins of art and creativity and planning and teamwork and how the hand is so important to human evolution. But for you, the hand was something else.
It was about the royal touch, and it was about the idea of medieval kingship and the ability of medieval kings to cure scrofula, which was a sort of, you know, wasting disease sort of with the skin. And the laying on of hands would cure people. And so the hand was about royal power. But also we looked at how you actually read a hand.
Ah,
so
yes.
So we're all used to sort of reading documents, reading printed sources. But how do you actually look at a hand? How is a hand gendered? Men's and women's hands. Hands that are of different colours. Hands that are that have, I suppose, are augmented. So you either have rings on them, amputated, so they're not augmented, but they can be amputated. Hands can age. You know, hands and work.
I have the hands of a TV presenter. May sound a bit weird, but you have to have very clean hands and short fingernails, because you always have, whenever you're picking up books or something, they do very, very close-up shots of your hands.
I have terrible nails. I chew my nails.
No, I do sometimes.
I have terrible hands. I have pianist hands. These hands haven't seen a hard day's work in their life.
But you have the hands of a scribe.
Exactly.
Which is different to the hands of a labourer.
Exactly.
Isn't that the wonderful thing about 19th century scribes writing in ink?
Yeah.
What was that?
Their inky hands.
Yeah, and they could never get it off.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there was a lovely quote about someone sort of frustrated with his inky hands, or he was sort of categorised as a scribe because of his inky hands, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Criticised because of his inky hands. He wasn't proud of his inky hands.
Wasn't there a thing with branding as well? Criminals branded on their hands?
Yeah, branded on your hand.
Or you have
16th century
fingers
criminals.
Chopped off or something.
Yeah, so there are all sorts of ways of marking people. I think one of the interesting things also is that when we sat down to write this book, we wanted to do it in a slightly different way from the podcast.
Yeah.
And we went about each chapter in a different way from how we do the podcast. The way that we do the podcast is we agree on a subject and then we each go off and research it independently and come back together. And we have no idea what each other is going to come up with. Whereas with the book, you can't do that. because it needs to sort of, it needs to have a greater sense of coherence and flow. And so what we wanted to do was to achieve some sort of narrative arc for each of the chapters.
Right. Yeah.
So not only does it, not only does each chapter flow into the next, not only is the whole sort of structure of the book circular, but that we also wanted it to have a particular sort of line of argument that went through it. Yeah. So I think that took some time to craft.
But it was fun as well, wasn't it? Just doing it all in a different way.
Yeah, loved it. And should we tell them what we're doing next with it?
Absolutely.
Okay, so next we have spent the last few months working with a brilliant playwright, Daniel Jameson.
Friend of mine, Dan Jameson. Hello, Dan.
Hello, Dan, who is terrific. I met him a couple of weeks ago. He's brilliant. And he has had a look at our book and is working with us on turning it into a live show. And we will be touring this in the autumn. We have a series of dates that are coming up. Where are we going, Sam?
We are going to the Appledore Literary Festival at the end of September. We're going to
The 22nd of September.
The Princess Theatre in Burnham.
On the 28th of September.
We're going to the Phoenix Theatre in Exeter, our hometown.
The 3rd of October.
Stowe Theatre, looking forward to that. That's a beautiful theatre in an old kind of aircraft hangar.
Oh, wonderful. We're doing that on the 5th of October.
BBC History Weekend, always good fun.
Excellent. Oh, that is on the 6th of October.
At Calstock Arts Centre near Plymouth. That's a lovely little place. A
lovely venue. That's the 12th of October.
The Blenheim Literary Festival.
Oh, I love Blenheim. Blenheim is on the 13th of October.
The Wantage Literary Festival.
Excellent. Looking forward to that one. And that's on the... this is on the 20th. Of October, and on the same day,
yes,
we are. This is a weekend of hell that we have for ourselves.
We're going to York for the BBC York History Weekend
that evening.
Yes.
So we are foot to the floor,
and then Harrogate.
Harrogate the next morning for 10 o'clock on the 21st of October.
Mincing Hampton Church is a lovely church that's just been done up, just north of Bristol.
Really, really looking forward to that. That's another. It's on the 27th of October, and we're doing that in the afternoon, and then in the evening we are at Yeovil Literary Festival.
Yep.
So,
and then we've got a couple more Dorchester Arts at the Corn Exchange there on the 4th of November, and then Uppingham Theatre on the 9th of November. So
excellent.
That's going to be good fun. It's going to be presented by myself and James, and what we've done is we've taken a series of subjects from our book, series of topics from our book, and we've linked them all together, as of course we always do, and we've got all sorts of fun props to explore.
So when you come to see this, it's not going to be a standard book reading.
No, the idea was it was going to be the opposite of a historian standing at a lectern talking to you about history.
Yes.
It's going to be an emotional journey.
Good.
It's going to be a historical journey, James, through some of the greatest subjects.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have props. We have visuals. We have audio.
Yeah.
You have Sam covered in soot.
It's going to be somewhere between hilarious and kind of horrifically fascinating, I think. There's going to be some grisly stuff. There's going to be some interesting stuff. There's going to be a bit of, sort of things passed around the audience. So if you're interested in history and you like having your hands on historical documents and you like, maybe smelling historical smells.
The history of perfume.
Don't
give too much away.
It's all coming up. We've got to rehearse and do some
we're going to be busy over the summer. We're recording this at the end of July. So we're going to spend August and September working on this and refining it.
I'm massively looking forward to it.
Me too.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really good.
Slightly
fun.
Terrified, but also massively looking forward to it.
All we've got to do is fit all of our props into a single trunk.
Yes. Which we'll do, don't worry.
And we're going to kind of connect everything to each other with bits of string, I think. So we'll end up in a tangled,
we're doing that.
Tangled mess.
See, I thought this would never work. It would never work, but we'll see.
We might do it. I don't know. Anyway, apart from that, we've also we've started writing a little series of books.
We have a contract for 4 books.
We
four
do.
Books.
So we're doing Histories of the Unexpected, The Tudors.
Which we've written.
Yeah.
And we're also doing The Vikings.
Let's just hold on there with The Tudors. Let's just talk a little bit about
The Tudors. Talk a little bit about The Tudors, then.
here are some of the topics we do on the history of the Tudors, the unexpected history of the Tudors. So this is not the expected history of the Tudors. This is not Henry VIII getting married to Anne Boleyn. This is not the Armada. This is not what else is expected, James. Help me out here.
Reformation, yep. Wars, the age of Shakespeare, blah, 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 blah. I mean, everyone knows the standard history of the Tudors. So you've got Henry VIII, the sort of psycho killer toilet paper king. You've got Edward VI, the boy king. You've got Henry VII, who starts it all off.
Who's Henry VII.
John Major, sort of bureaucrat, but actually isn't. Actually is much more sexy and exciting. You've got Bloody Mary, Catholic. You've got Elizabeth I, the golden age. What we wanted to do was we deal with that. We've got an introduction that plots out exactly what the standard history of the Tudors is. But then what we want to do is really take the idea of unexpected and flip it. Because normally, those of you who are used to listening to our podcast, we take a topic, so for example, the orange, and the orange is about the gunpowder plot, or cats are about the French Revolution. And what we wanted to do this time was switch it around. So in fact, the Tudors became about a whole series of topics.
Shrinking. One of our chapters is on the history of shrinking. Fruit eating, faces, lists, bones, windows, mirrors.
The chair,
monsters, toilets, cannibalism, rings. So we have this whole, we have 20 different unexpected new ways of thinking about a very, very well-known expected subject.
Yeah. So if you take, for example, the history of toilets, and we've talked about this in the past in our episode on toilets, the history of the toilets is in fact all about politics in the reign of Henry VIII. Yeah. So we take a sort of an unusual and unexpected topic, but then also twist it round in a way that it actually sheds light on, you know, a pretty traditional side of Tudor history.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Street. So, I mean, shrinking was great fun because that's all. Tudors were absolutely brilliant at making small stuff.
Yeah.
Miniature portraits, ship models.
Yeah.
So through that subject of shrinking, you get into portraiture, politics, the Armada, shipbuilding, exploration. It's fascinating. So it's just a new way of doing it. And so we've done the Tudors. We are now doing
the Vikings.
Histories of the Unexpected, Book Two.
The Vikings.
The Vikings.
Which I am obsessed with the Vikings. I wish if I had my whole career all over again, I would be a Viking historian. Hmm. And I've become obsessed with archaeology. I know you've got an archaeological background.
I have two degrees in archaeology.
You do. Hmm. You do.
And work experience.
Yes, I know. You're a brilliant person. But I've never done it. And I'm obsessed with it. Also, the articles are very easy to read.
Yeah. Well, they're very well written. There's a lovely community of Viking scholars out there. Hello, everyone. So we've done, again, exactly the same thing. So an expected topic via unexpected subject. So I have written, together. Let's talk about what we've done together.
What have we done together?
I'll go through my ones and then you go through your ones. I've done the history of cleanliness. Well, I'm not sure about the title yet, but colour, criminal profiling, friendship, fun, goading, taunting, brilliant subject. History of luck, the history of mischief I've enjoyed, the history of nicknames, history of silk. Those are my ones.
Well, for me, I've done the history of toys. Mm. The history of toys is all about hidden children.
Wow.
Did you know that?
Mm.
It's about hidden children. The history of teeth.
Oh, you can't find them in the historical record unless you...
That's it. History of teeth is about Viking identity.
Yeah.
Mm. The history of keys.
Keys?
Key? Did you not know how to do keys? Mm. Keys?
We're obviously halfway through writing this book and I haven't read anything.
Keys is all about Viking power.
Ooh.
Birds
are
all about myths, Viking myths.
Mm.
Doors are about the dead.
You're really excited about Viking doors, aren't you?
Oh, my God. Viking doors. Corpse doors. I've come across corpse doors.
What is a corpse door?
Doors to the dead. Ah, you'll have to write. People buried. Buried corpses in doors.
Hmm.
Graffiti.
Oh, I love Viking graffiti.
It's all about Viking travel.
Yeah.
Sorcery. Oh, my God. Sorcery is amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. What's fascinating about sorcery is you get at it from...
Sticks.
The perspective of sticks and staffs. But what's interesting here is the way in which the discipline has changed over the years and the way in which people have reclassified sticks. So, you know, generations ago, archaeologists sort of finding sticks sort of thought that they were sort of poking rods and stirrers and, you know, and
cooking implements.
Know, cooking implements.
Yeah. Now they think they're magic wands.
But now they think they're magic wands.
Of course, yes.
Which is brilliant. And so it's a portal into Viking sorcery.
Yeah. That's such a brilliant archaeological problem. And you get something, you think it's nothing, and actually it's immensely powerful.
Yes.
It's something that
but it's
basically
also
held
the
society
way in
together.
Which it's the way in which the discipline has changed and become slightly less conservative.
Yeah.
So I wish I were a Viking. Well, I'm becoming a Viking scholar.
One of the most impressive things I've read is an article on Viking friendship. I loved it. Looking at the Icelandic sagas... They were written just after the Viking period, but they tell us all a great deal about what was going on. And it's all to do with cementing friendship through feasting. It's all to do with food, basically.
Ooh.
As much food and friendship as it is nowadays. It's not exactly surprising.
Mm.
But I've loved it. The way you can... So scholars have written about friendship between men and men, friendship between men and women, friendship between women and women, friendship between rulers and the ruled, friendship between people and their gods.
Yeah.
Really extraordinary.
Mm.
Yeah, I was amazed. I was amazed.
And we should do the history of friendship. I know a lot about friendship.
Do you know a lot about Viking friendship?
Not yet,
because I haven't read my chapter.
I will do once I've read your chapter.
So, after that, we've done Histories of the Unexpected 2, the Vikings, we are going to do Histories of the Unexpected 3.
Yes, which is World War 2.
Yes.
Now, I was chatting to a colonel friend of mine, and not Colonel Mustard, but a colonel friend of mine.
Was he wearing red corduroy trousers?
He wasn't, but hello, Chris. He's lovely. But he said to me, oh, I told him that I was writing a book about World War II. And he said, what have you got that's new about World War II? And so I said, handkerchiefs and pigeons and cows.
And tell us no more. I don't think we should explore
this. He had no idea what I was talking about.
Very good. Mine's spitting.
Spitting?
We did a little mention in the intro. One of my chapters is going to be on spitting. Hitler spitting, people spitting.
Liking that.
Different religious beliefs and stuff. And spittoons. There's a lot going on. A lot of spitting in the Second World War. Who knew?
We're liking
Who
that.
Who knew?
Drugs.
Yeah.
That's maybe.
Well known, I'd say.
There is that book, Blitzed.
But we are going to do the Second World War. And after that, we have got Histories of the Unexpected, Book 4. And that will be upon...
Romans.
Yes,
the Romans.
I cannot wait for this.
I can't. I've just come back from the south of France, where I've stayed in a little Roman town and went round the little Roman... I didn't tell you this, but I've already started researching on it.
Ah.
Took lots of photos in the local Roman museum.
And the key way we do this was basically try and get hold of anyone who has just written an amazing PhD is the way we do this, because that allows us to tap into like the latest, greatest thoughts of what's going on.
Yeah.
So if any of you are PhD students, you're doing something really interesting on the Second World War or on the Romans or on the Vikings, get in touch and let us know what you're doing.
The first way I got into it was not only trawling through PhD theses and looking at that, but also just going through journals, you know, so we've both got access to, you know, university research facilities and the amazing amount of stuff that is now online.
Yeah.
So just trawling through that. And I've been through hundreds and hundreds of
Journal of Material Culture is my favorite. They come up with loony stuff on how to think about objects, basically.
Yeah.
Loved it.
There's some great stuff. And before we go, just one final thought. The other thing that has filled this very busy year is I've just got AHRC funding for a big new project to work with the Victoria and Albert Museum and the Vassar. And it's to work with colleagues at the University of Lund and Leiden and University of Western Australia.
Tell us what the Vassar is, James.
The Vassar is an incredible museum in Stockholm. We've talked about this in the past. It's the Vassar ship, Gustavus Adolphus's ship, that this sort of bling warship came out of Stockholm Harbour and sank and then was dredged up in the 50s and 60s and now is in this state-of-the-art museum. So what we are going to be doing is the project is going to be doing a gendered interpretation of that collection, working with the curatorial team at the Vassar, but also working with the team at the V&A. So we've got postdocs on this, and Sam and I are involving histories of the unexpected in it.
Yeah.
So we will have researchers researching objects for us, and we will be doing podcasts on this.
Ooh.
On the Vassar ship.
Darkness, I think, slime, mud.
Slime.
There's all sorts of interesting things you can
do. We've done lions. We've talked about the Vassar in terms of lions.
Yeah.
But also all manner of objects, you know, that were on the Vassar ship, but also at the V&A has the most amazing collections. So it's going to be a busy year for us. We're going to be launching the big book. We're going to be finishing off the series, and we are going to be touring the live show, and we are going to be recording really great material for you from these two great museums.
Yeah. Can't wait. Thank you very much for listening, and hopefully see you at one of our gigs.
Brilliant.
Bye.
Bye.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.